I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The content shared is not a substitute for professional medical, mental health, legal, or financial advice. Please consult a qualified professional for personalized guidance or treatment. By listening, you acknowledge that the hosts and guests are not responsible for any decisions or actions you take based on this content.
Feel like a grouch, go beyond the couch. Share your confessions on the Aurora Sessions.
Hello, Aurora Healing Crew. Welcome to the Aurora Sessions Beyond the Couch, where we take the stressors that come up in session and bring them into conversation beyond the couch. This is the space where real talk meets real life. Hi, everyone. This is Teresa here, the founder of Aurora Sun Counseling, a group private practice providing psychotherapy for clients in New Jersey, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. Today, my guest spent over 20 years making an impact in the pageant world. Todd Kinder. Is that how you say your name?
Kinder.
I knew it. I missed a Maria's name. Did you hear that? Oh my gosh. Okay. Todd Kinder holds a bachelor's in organizational management from Wilmington University, serves as a training coordinator for Inspira Health, and leads their LGBTQ plus employee resource group. From pageant judge to Miss South Jersey executive director and now president and executive director of Miss New Jersey Volunteer, Todd has brought passion, leadership, and a deep commitment to mental health, creating meaningful support for contestants and volunteers alike. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. So I always like to tell a little story of how I met my guest and how I wanted you to come on. So Maria, our on episode 3, she's a good friend of mine and her daughter's in the pageant world. Yes. And Miss Maria has been on the board way back when you guys first started, right?
Correct.
And then resigned.
Yes.
When Jackie joined or was a contestant. But from the beginning, as long as I've known Jackie, she's been involved. And when she joined the board, she had mentioned, like, I wonder how, like, we can involve you, Teresa and Aurora. And then she told me about the first pageant that you guys had and all your friends from work. Mm-hmm. Came and helped.
Yes.
Coach. And then we figured out that Aurora can provide. So what we're doing is providing 6 therapy sessions.
Yes.
For the title winners of Miss New Jersey Teen Volunteer and Miss New Jersey Volunteer. And this year we're going to add to it and add workshops.
Yes. We are
and
so grateful.
Yes.
For that. We are absolutely grateful for your sponsorship. And
yeah,
we love every second of that. Like, mental health is such a big part of our organization. So when you came in, I was like, yes, yes, whatever you need. Yes.
I'm so grateful too. And in meeting your the contestants and mm-hmm. everything that you stand for, it really, I'm grateful to be a part of it, because like I said in Maria's episode, that all of us come, I think, with some ideas of what pageant is.
Yes.
And so I guess to start with, mm-hmm. You've been in the pageant world for 20 years.
Yes.
I can't believe it.
Me neither.
So you started as a judge, mm-hmm. as Miss South Jersey executive director, or in there. And mm-hmm. then now you're leading the Miss New Jersey Volunteer.
Yes.
So can you walk us through the journey, how you even got involved?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. So back in 1979, when I was born,
we
was.
We have time. Yeah. You can start wherever you want.
No, what happened was when I was younger, mm-hmm. One of the things that I used to love doing with my grandmother, she raised me.
Okay.
And we would watch pageants. We would
Same.
Watch Miss USA,
that's,
Miss
my
Universe.
My grandmother raised
yes.
me and we watched pageants
Every
together.
Time it was on,
yes.
like that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she passed away in 1998. So
mm-hmm.
for a little while there, I was kind of like, you know, you miss her
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what to do with yourself. And
mm-hmm.
then in 2003, I met Jill San Andrea. Mm-hmm. We worked together, and she ended up, she was the executive director, her and her mom, for like the Miss Vineland organization. Okay. And they needed a judge. So they said, they knew that I had a theater background. Mm-hmm. And they said, would you like to come and judge? I was like, oh my God, yeah, absolutely. This is exciting. I've never been on this part before. So I judged. And then when you're a male, mm-hmm. and you judge once, you get put on a list and you just keep judging.
Oh.
So for 15 years, wow. I judged at least once a year.
Yes.
For different organizations. And after that 15 years, I kind of said, you know, I want more. Like mm-hmm. I felt weird judging because I felt like I was getting a list of girls and I knew who they were.
That seems like could be a favorite pastime.
Yeah. To just yeah, it was like I felt like I knew the girls. Like yeah. year after year, you would right. see the same kind of same mm-hmm. girls, and you would sit there and say, "Oh, I wonder what's going on in their life now. Like, what did I ask them like 2 years ago that mm. I shouldn't ask them now?" So mm-hmm. I started to realize, like, maybe I need to get out mm-hmm. and do something else because I'm doing the same thing and mm-hmm. and it's getting tedious. So an opportunity came up. I took it as the Miss South Jersey director. Mm-hmm. I did that for 5 years, met some amazing, amazing title holders. Still good friends with a lot of them today. In fact, they're all getting married now. Like, kind of, it's like weird. And well, I'm going to like 20 weddings a year.
Oh my gosh. You need like, a third job yeah, for that.
Seriously. And so when the pandemic hit, you know, I think we all went through a thing like, what am I doing with my life? Like, mm-hmm. I think like that moment was like, what am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for years. I'm not happy anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was not going the way the organization was going to go. And I wasn't sure how I wanted to pursue it. So I knew that that was going to be the last year I was going to be a director. And I just kind of let it go. And in the meantime, the Miss Volunteer America mm-hmm. started up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe this is a new opportunity. Not to be New Jersey. I mm-hmm. did not do that at first. I actually contacted them and asked them if they had like somebody that was in charge of New Jersey, I would love to help them. Mm-hmm. And I met Allison DeMarcus, who okay. is the founder of Miss Volunteer America. Oh, wow. And within a matter of, I feel like 2 weeks, she pretty much was like, and you're going to take New Jersey. And I was like, whoa, 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 I'm not ready for that. And she said, yes, you are. And she met with me and I'm a group of people, mm-hmm. my board. Mm-hmm. And we kind of came in and we decided that we were going to do it. The funny story, there's two things or three things that I always remember about this. One, my husband said to me, mm-hmm. if you don't do it, you're going to regret it. Because I was like, no, I don't think I should do this. Like, it's just a lot of time. It's a lot of money. Right. If you don't do it, you're going to regret it. And I'll never forget that because that was the day that I said, okay, we're going to do it because I feel like I will regret it. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is going to take it over and I'm going to be right. mad. Yes. I'm going to be mad.
That could have been me.
Yeah, it could have been me.
Yeah.
You know? And then doing the pageant, and this is why I still do pageants, is because it brought me again closer to my grandmother who I've lost.
Yes.
And so every time I do a pageant, I do things with pageant, it always brings me back to that moment.
Yeah.
So that's important to me to... I feel people don't understand why I'm still here. And it's right. because every single year I get to relive moments with my grandma.
Yes.
And then full circle moment, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, Jill, okay. who starred at me in 2003,
yeah.
was one of my judges.
Oh, wow.
And her mom came and it was like 20 years. And I said, how crazy is it that you're watching me do this when you're the ones that started this?
Yes.
It was such a full circle moment. And
I love full circle moments.
It was like the weird, yeah. and I didn't even realize it at first. I was just kind of like, hey, do you want to judge?
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, absolutely. I would love that. And she came to judge. And as I was calculating it, I was like, it's been 20 years.
It was meant to be.
This is the perfect time.
Yeah.
And her mom came and she was just like, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, I couldn't do it without you.
Yeah.
Like I watched you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's pretty much the end of it.
I love
a long story,
that.
But yeah. it's definitely a lot of twists and turns in there. Mm-hmm. And but always coming back to the reason I wanted to do it mm-hmm. was the love mm-hmm. for the title holders, but mm-hmm. also to feel close to my grandmother as well.
I love that. I love how many of us watch pageants with our grandparents.
Well, because I think we're in a society now that they're not as big
right.
as they were before.
Uh-huh.
But when our grandparents mm-hmm. were alive, that was the thing.
Yes.
That was the thing.
Yes.
And, you know, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing, you know, like Miss USA.
Right.
Miss Universe. Like,
yes.
What country was going to win Miss Universe?
Right. It was like on the major network.
Oh,
with like antennas, like not cable, like stuff.
You would, you would schedule your day around being able to watch it.
Yeah.
And I say that all the time. I was like, and we would be home scoring.
Yes.
Did you do the scoring?
Of course. Yes. And make our guesses, like the Super Bowl. Yeah.
And then you would be like, I don't understand how they didn't win. And you're like, oh,
still. We get very salty.
I know. Like, I don't have a scoring home. And I'm like, you're one person. I always say this. Know. So, you know,
I don't understand.
I know.
Yeah.
I say that to people all the time. Because the other thing is, too, on our end, as, you know, a director, we don't know what's going on either.
Yeah.
We're not part of the judging. Like, we find out when everybody else finds out. And I think people think that we have some kind of hand in it.
No,
not at all.
No. Like,
I used to say to people all the time when they came to me, and I gave a little speech to the judges. I'm like, listen, hey, you know, just make sure she's a nice person. Like, because I have to spend a year with her.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Just make sure she's nice. Yeah. You know, like,
I can't be bullied by somebody.
I was like, I don't want to be bullied. Yeah. Because I also don't want it to turn into something that I hate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I want it because this is something that I put a lot of my time and effort into. And I want them to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
No, yeah. I love that. And also, this is just part of what you do. What do you do 9 to 5?
I work from home, first of all, which is extremely nice.
Amazing.
I'm a training coordinator at Inspira Health for the incoming clinical nurses.
Oh, nice.
And clinical staff.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of the scheduling for the training, and that's like a full-time job there, you know, as you're getting all these nurses in.
Orientation,
you know. And
drink the Kool-Aid.
It's funny because when I applied for the job, I've been with Inspira for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And this is something that I've been doing for like 3 years at this point. But here's the funny thing about this is when I started at Inspira, like I've been through so many different jobs there because, I started out, you know, as a registrar, and, you know, you keep moving on. I said, I've done everything at Inspira, including washing sheets. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in the laundry department. I would pick up shifts in the laundry department because I was getting married and I needed extra money.
My gosh, so I love that.
I would actually work 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And then change.
Yes.
And then I like to call her Ethel. Like, Ethel would go to work at at the laundry. There were pictures of me. There's still pictures of me putting sheets into the machine. Yeah.
It would be at Ethel.
Yeah, that's what I said, right? Like, I always say, and here's Ethel. She's taking care of business tonight. Yeah. And
I am not Todd.
This is a different person, a different entity here. So I feel like I do a lot, but I've done a lot at Inspira, but, you know, going through, like, right now, I found my niche. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. Like, I love doing this, and, you know, my hopes is to be a trainer.
Oh, okay.
So maybe progressing into that as well.
So I'm just looking over here at your major, organizational management.
Yes.
And it just seems like all the stuff, all the different steps in your life allowed you to be really good at being the director.
Well, and it's funny because I feel like there was never more of an appropriate degree to get because it matched everything that I've ever done. Like, when I went in to get the degree, I was like, what do I do? You know, and I saw organizational management. I was like, it was like clear sailing. Like, I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And it gave me a lot of lessons to learn, and I could apply everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's why I loved it.
Including, like, being Ethel.
Ethel, absolutely. Ethel. You know what it gave Ethel? I always said Ethel had a good work ethic.
Of course.
Ethel, like, Todd sometimes would waver, but Ethel, she had a good work ethic.
You had to, with Ethel as your name.
Exactly.
So you said that you, another thing that you do at Inspira is that you lead the LGBTQ plus employee resource group. Can you tell me what that group is, and did you start it up, or what?
Well, it's a weird thing because we really started to focus on the employee resource groups, and they had a diversity and inclusion council. Mm-hmm. And I remember when they started it, and I said, listen, because they had, at one point, they were like, you need to be involved. You need to maybe possibly run it. No.
A white man run the DEI?
Thank you. That's exactly what I said. I said, how does it look for a white man to run the DEI thing?
And they said,
I stayed away from it for a little while. And I just kind of stepped back. And I was like, I'll help with whatever I can. But I don't want to be I don't want people to recognize me because of that, because that's right. not what it should be about. But then they were going into these ERGs and one of them was the LGBTQ. And I said, you know what? I feel strongly about this.
Okay.
I need to come in and at least help with this.
Okay.
I was in a meeting and it was one of those, who would like to run the LGBTQ? Now, I had another friend who was in it, who is part of the LGBTQ community. And I thought, she's going to do it. Like, this is great. And she said, no, I'm going to be in the women of color. I said, oh, no, no, no. It's like, I need you for this one. Yeah. And she said, you should do it. Aww, and I said, okay, well, I'll do it. So we kind of started it. We call it Prism.
Okay.
And it was funny because we had our first meeting and a lot of the members were like, why are we Prism? And I said, think about it like this. White light goes in and all the beautiful colors come out.
I love that.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
I said, sometimes I get good ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
I feel like that's what they call it on some college campuses.
I feel like too. I do. Yeah. I feel like it is too. And I feel like it's appropriate.
Yes.
So we kind of came in. It's our first year.
Mm-hmm.
We have members of the LGBTQ plus community, plus we have allies. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, I always tell people, I'm like, join. And they're like, well, I'm not LGBT. So what?
Right.
Like, we don't discriminate.
Right.
We don't discriminate. So this year we had a pride event in June. We actually had like this huge like table just like this. And we had bracelets and we had flags and we had buttons and we had everything. We were just handing out to people and trying to get more people to even join, you know, as well. So we're gearing up to do a panel discussion for LGBTQ History Month.
Oh, I love that.
In October. So
nice.
This is our first year. So we're trying to take everything a little slow because I've learned that you can't do everything at once because then it blows up.
Yes.
And then nobody wants to do anything. So
I need to learn that lesson.
I had to learn that lesson because things have blown up on me.
Yeah.
So that's why I do everything in increments.
Yes.
So that's what we're doing now. So it's exciting because there's a lot of support at our organization for it.
Okay.
And that's what I was extremely happy about.
So there's a theme here that both your roles, somebody almost like nominated you for, and then you're like, oh no, that can't be me. I can't do it. And I find that that's very similar to a lot of things us as human beings do. And I think it's called imposter syndrome.
Yes.
That like, so how much do you think that played in your accepting the director for Miss New Jersey Volunteer and also the leader of the LGBTQ plus?
Sometimes I feel like I have to be convinced that it's okay to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think that, cause I don't want to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to go into somewhere and saying, oh, I'm going to mess this up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have said that a couple times and I'm like, this is not good. Like I can't go in thinking like that. So I think I need to get that validation. Like, hey, you got this, you're good to go. I think it's just hard, you know, on my end to accept that, hey, maybe this is something I can do. I kind of need somebody to say, hey, you should try it. And that's fairly something new. It's weird because when I was younger, I wasn't like that.
What do you mean? You like, just did it?
I just did it. Yeah. And I think it's because as I got older, I started to think about, I'm a thinker. Mm-hmm. So I think about things that could happen, even though that they haven't happened.
Yes.
What could happen?
Right.
And how do I fix it? It hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
So why am I worried about it?
We call them cognitive distortion.
Yeah. So we should have a session because I seriously have problems sometimes with that where it's like, I'm one of those ones in the shower that will think of a scenario that could be happening. And what do I do to get out of the scenario?
Right.
And that's how I live my life. And I think that's, it's not great on my end, but I think that's what stops me sometimes where I'm like, halt for just a minute and think about what you can and can't do because I know that I can do it. It's just, scary.
So just a little, this is not a session,
I know.
But a little tip that I would, because this comes up a lot, with anxious people, let's just say I'm not trying to diagnose
no,
you.
No, I am seriously anxious. No.
So am I.
I am so anxious.
So am I. So, usually that happens because you needed to have that, I call it superpower at some point in your life. That you needed to predict or try to plan out all the different scenarios because at some point you were trying to survive. And then when you don't need that superpower anymore, it still is there because your nervous system hasn't been convinced that you don't need it anymore. And then, so how do we smooth that out so that we're not walking around ready to put fires out?
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
Get it.
And then we, I tell people, and this is from, I didn't make this up, but it's, they said to jump off the time machine, that you're not, where time travel is not real as much as we know, like right now. So therefore, if it's not real, jump off the time machine. Don't jump into the future. Come off the elevator into right now. Just focus on what's happening right now. So okay. That's what we...
And that, and I think that's what I'm trying to really accomplish is to be present in the moment mm-hmm. and just do what Me I too. Feel is mm-hmm. is right at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, if something goes wrong, you figure it out later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just figure it out.
And you always will.
Yeah.
Has there been a time
that you haven't? Never been a time that I've never figured it out.
Right.
And that's what blows my mind is like, yeah. why do I think that this is an issue?
Right. Like- Yes, because you don't think you're... going to have the superpower when you need it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, okay. So, as the leader of Inspira's health LGBTQ employee resource group, how do you integrate that into diversity, equity, and inclusion in the pageant community? Or is there a way to do
that? Well, I think it's kind of twofold. I think, you know, the more that you talk about it, I think... diversity, equity, and inclusion should just happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm one of those people where I was like, I don't think you need to always spotlight it. Mm-hmm. It should just be happening in your practice. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we do. Mm-hmm. Like, we reach out to everybody. Mm-hmm. And our judging panel looks like the contestants. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you're sitting there and I was like, none of these judges look like me. How are, and, mm-hmm. and no, we not only are, you know, like culturally or anything, mm-hmm. but backgrounds. Mm-hmm. We focus on a lot of the different backgrounds because, you know, you have a set of judges. I actually laugh at this. I was like, you have a set of judges that only know dance. Mm-hmm. What does that do for the rest of the people? Right. That actually hurts yeah. the dancers.
Right.
And
oh my gosh. I know, because you have to be like the yeah. best.
And I was yeah. like, but you have to have, you know, you have to have that diversity there.
Right.
You have to have the diversity of contestants because mm-hmm. you learn from them.
Yes.
You learn from them. When I first started, this is actually a funny story. When I first started, I reached out to former title holders. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'm getting ready to start this because we were the first ones to start it in New Jersey.
Out and of all the United States?
Yeah, like we were one of the first states that started it.
Oh, wow.
And we were the, like, I always tell the national people, we're like the OGs.
Yeah.
We're the OGs. Like we're one of the OGs and we've been, you know, since the beginning. Yes. We actually had started it during the pandemic. We hadn't even had a pageant yet. It was like this whole
thing. I remember Maria yeah. with a billboard. I'm like, what yeah. are you doing?
No one knew who we were.
She's like, I'm here to recruit.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
And so I reached out to a lot of the title holders, like former title holders, mm-hmm. and I said, what did you not get that you would want? Mm. And let's figure out
right.
what are we missing and how do we include everyone? How do we make this equitable?
Okay.
And that's what we did. And I think it was just one of those things where it's never we called it out. We just did. Mm-hmm. And that's how we've lived our life. Like, it's just here. What do you want? And every year we always ask the girls, tell us something that maybe didn't work.
Right.
Or maybe did work or they'd right. like to see.
Right.
Because you never know what we can incorporate.
And I think that that's really what drew me to want to be involved. Well, one, I think mental health should be a right for everybody.
I agree.
And just because I might not understand, like a billionaire needing therapy, well, of course they need, we know they need, but yeah. anybody needs yes. therapy. But of course people, on stage or any competitive yeah. environment, mental health is so important.
There's one winner.
Yes.
There's technically one winner.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, like not everybody gets an award.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And so most of the time, and this is what scares me about the performing arts, is that most of the time it's going to be a no.
Yep.
You're not going to get it. You yep. have to get comfortable with that. And how do you not equate that with self-worth?
Exactly.
Okay. So can you tell me and educate us on the SERVE pillars? That's S-E-R-V-E.
Yes.
That's part of your mission?
Absolutely. It's SERVE is the cornerstone of our organization. SERVE stands for scholarship, mm-hmm. education, responsibility, volunteerism and empowerment.
Okay.
And it is something that we live by as an organization, and it's something that we bring forward to the girls as well. And each one of those pillars are important. Okay. They're important for that all around title holder,
okay,
that all around contestant. Mm-hmm. That's something that we look for in an organization, something that somebody that can hit each one of those pillars.
Okay. And, so this is one of the questions as like a layperson.
Yes.
People say, oh, you should do the pageants because of the scholarships. Think of the scholarships
yes,
that they could get. But then I always think, okay, but how much money did you like put out for this pageant? And I guess like how much of it do people like sponsor and donate, and how much like the return on investment? Can you explain that to the people who aren't familiar? Like, why is it worth it?
Well, for these holders? So first of all, it's so funny. We just had a workshop, because you never talk about workshops.
Yes.
We just did pageantry on a budget.
Okay.
We just did one of our former title holders, Hope Keel. She was Miss New Jersey Volunteer 2024. She did a workshop for us about pageantry on a budget. One of the things I always say is, yeah, you're getting scholarship,
mm-hmm,
and that could outweigh, you know, what you spent,
mm-hmm,
but you're also getting experience.
Mm-hmm.
You like the interview part itself,
mm-hmm,
I feel like is the return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to ace college interviews. You're going, mm-hmm, to ace job interviews. You're going to ace any type of interview that you're in, because you've had to sit there in that nerve-wracking, mm-hmm, 5 or 10 minute interview, getting asked questions,
mm-hmm,
while you're standing there in front of these 5 judges.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people don't get,
mm-hmm,
and they don't, because they don't see that part. I think that's the biggest thing, is, mm-hmm, like they see what's on stage.
Yes.
But also the other thing that I always bring up too, and I think people forget this talent part.
Yeah.
You never know who's in the audience. And I say this,
yes,
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for instance, our very first Miss New Jersey Volunteer, she competed at the Miss Volunteer America, Natalie,
mm-hmm,
Natalie Ragazzo, and she was the first runner up at Miss Volunteer America.
Okay.
She got hired to perform at like 3 or 4 state pageants.
Oh, wow.
Just from them watching her.
Wow, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that happens. That's the
exposure.
Real thing. You don't, yes, know who's in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to win to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I say that all the time. And you're learning. If you're learning, that's a win.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think there's people that are open to that.
Mm-hmm.
They benefit more.
Right.
And, you know, you don't know who's out there watching.
And I think that that's kind of the mindset that you have to go into it. And it always amazes me because, you know, in the last year or so, in my exposure in just being a sponsor, I watch these young women, like truly, I would be like crying, ugly crying, like, oh my gosh, sobbing that I didn't win.
Same.
Yeah, like in a puddle. And they are really happy. Of course, they're disappointed, right?
Yes.
Like that they didn't win, but they are happy for their sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
absolutely
won. And I think that does show and reflect.
I used to say to the contestants all the time, any of you could do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just maybe it's not your day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and that's fine. Maybe tomorrow would have been your day.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what's going to happen. So everything changes in a matter of, like, a different set of judges.
Right.
Could be a totally different outcome.
Right.
But it's just one of those things, like, you have to do what you're doing and experience it and learn from that experience and move on.
So what do you say to people? Because one of the things I'm guilty of saying too,
yeah,
is, well, it's not a beauty pageant. Like, people say, well, it's a beauty pageant. And like people trying to defend it, but it's like, well, you haven't ever seen anybody who like isn't gorgeous. Like, so,
but it's funny because it's like gorgeous unto what extent? Because,
mm-hmm,
what's gorgeous to you is different than what's gorgeous to,
mm-hmm,
me. And I think a lot of times with me, even when I was a judge,
mm-hmm,
gorgeous is the inside. Like, because the judges get to see that part. And that's the other part that I feel like the audience doesn't see. They see that part in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
They fall in love with people in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to understand. I mean, what is gorgeous?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think is gorgeous? Like, everybody's different. So, in some points, yeah, it is a beauty pageant, but there's other things that are coming out
right
of it. And I think, you know, understanding that we are a scholarship organization,
right,
like, we don't give money to the girls. We give it to the school.
Right.
Like, it goes right to the school. It does not go to the girls.
That makes sense.
It goes right to the school. It's actually funny because the teens.
Yeah.
It gets held for them until they graduate.
Oh, wow.
Like, we're not just handing over, like, money for that. Like, it's a scholarship organization.
Right.
You're doing this to get money for school. And so we wait for that. So, yeah, I think it just kind of comes down with, I think people, when they see it from the other side, their minds get changed. I think, and I think this is what happened to me, when you judge that first time, you realize, oh, this is a lot more than I thought it was. And I think more people, if they got that opportunity, they would see what it was all about. And I always say that my husband judged for the first time. This past year, he judged Miss Pennsylvania Volunteer.
Oh, nice.
And I think he was kind of under that impression, like, okay, well, what's on stage? And when he got done, he was like, I have a totally different view of it.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. I went to my first pageant over the summer to watch Miss New Jersey Teen America.
Yeah.
And I was in awe. And I think, to your point, this is probably why whoever we thought was going to win when we were watching at home with grandma, because all we see is what's on stage.
Exactly.
They probably are winning because of all the behind the scenes that we don't get to see.
Every single category is separate. So you always think about that. Every single category is separate. And most of the time, you're looking for the most all-around girl. You're missing one part of the competition that no one ever sees except for the judges. And I think that's why we always get confused. We're like, well, whoa, what happened? Or she didn't make the cut, or she didn't do this. And it's because we don't get that part.
Right.
And we don't get their heart. I always say that. We don't get their heart. The judges do. So they understand. They're looking for the most all-around contestant. You have to have the interview part in there for that to work. We don't get that. So that's why we're always off.
So I want to ask a few personal questions. You mentioned your husband.
Yes.
You're part of the LGBTQ plus, like, as what do you identify?
A gay male.
Okay. Yep.
You know, and it's funny, at my age, it took me a while to understand what people meant. I would have this discussion with other people in the LGBTQ community. I'm like, I don't understand what they're talking about. And I'm like, because we're at that age where it's just, you were a gay male.
Like, there's a lot of choices now.
I get it
to
now.
Identify as.
Yes, and I get that now. Absolutely. Yes.
And so my question as a therapist, because when I went to school, it was like 20 years ago. And I want to learn as much as possible because I identify as heterosexual. And but I wanted to get it right and be able to serve whoever wants to see me as a therapist. So back then they said that the easiest for someone to come out would be like in college, because like, it's more of a community that you could, like, it's a bigger community. Like, if you live in a small town, it might be harder. What is your opinion, and what are your thoughts about, like?
I think it's an individual situation. And I've said this to multiple people before, because you always, well, I think they're gay. I wish they would just come out. But you hear that from, and I would say this, it's not your story. It's not your right to pull them out of the closet. You have to respect their decision.
Okay.
And respect their time. And I think you have to do it when it's right for you. You have to think about you yourself and think about what is right for you. I didn't come out until college, but I think also I was sure. But you like in the time that we grew up, it was like, am I or am I not? Like, maybe I just haven't had the opportunities.
Right.
But I think what it is now is like you have to be ready for it.
Yeah.
And be ready for possible backlash. Be ready for possible acceptance, because people forget that part. Like they don't automatically the acceptance part. Like it's a new thing to you. But I do believe I don't think there's a timeline.
Yeah.
I think it just needs to be when you're ready.
Yeah.
And no one should pull you. I said, I've had this conversation with so many people. I'm like, don't pull them out of the closet, because they will resent you for the rest of their
lives. Are you talking to parents or friends?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Like, you know, mostly friends, but you know, parents too, if they've come to me, I'm like, just let them be and let them do what they feel is necessary.
Okay.
They will come to you when the time's right. Okay. If it's true.
Right.
It may not be true.
You could be dead wrong.
I know. And then what happens then? Yeah. Now you've just scarred them for their life. They're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, you have to let the individual decide for themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you know, we go on and there's a lot more resources. There's a lot more community.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that, you know, when they tell mm-hmm. and they come out,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important to understand them. Even if you like, and I feel like this is the problem too. There's, you know, sometimes you got parents that don't understand it mm-hmm. and then they want to reject it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes step back from the situation for mm-hmm. a minute and realize that as your child,
mm-hmm.
you know, you should love your child.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said that from the beginning. So it's just a matter of letting that individual do what they feel is necessary. And then, you know, and then be that person to talk to them.
What do you say for the parents who it's not that they are rejecting it. They're just so worried about life being harder for their child. What are some like tips you could give them?
Be there for your child.
Mm-hmm.
Like let them experience it because mm-hmm. if it's going to be harder, I mean, things have been harder for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, for certain things. But support them. That's all they really want. They only want support.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want, not necessarily, they don't want a PFLAG mom, you know, or mm-hmm. like they don't necessarily want that or need that.
Mm-hmm.
What they need is you to be supportive and mm-hmm. be their parent. And I think it's a goal of parents to automatically want to protect their child.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that 100%. But sometimes you've got to let them experience it.
Mm-hmm.
But still be there for the support. And I think that's the biggest advice I can give anybody.
Yeah.
Is just be support.
Right.
Let them live their life and, you know, be as supportive as you possibly can.
Okay. I like that. And it's simple.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. True.
You would think. I mean, it's coming from me who has no child and I'm like, yeah, just support them. Like, I don't need like, and I'm not one that has ever wanted children. I'm not a children person. People that know me,
I respect that.
They laugh so hard because even with our pageant, sometimes the teens are a little like young for me. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this.
Right.
When we started the princess pageant, I was like, somebody else has to take this.
Right.
Like, I can't do this because I'm not good around children because I just never learned how to
talk. You need a lot of patience.
Yeah. I have it, but I'm just like,
no, it's different with kids. I used to get mad at my friends who would give, board games to my kids for their birthday. I'm like, who do you expect to be playing these games with my kids? I don't play with my children.
True story. And it's funny because if I say out loud, like, oh, I had a good time with that child, my friends will go, say that again. Like, what? And they know, like, that means truly I had a good time.
Right.
I truly had a good time.
Well, they're probably like Boss Baby and really like... was an adult.
And that's the thing. I was like, I always want to have a conversation with the baby, mm-hmm. knowing that they don't understand the words that I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I can't understand them. So it's like it's almost like a butting heads mm-hmm. thing where I'm like, listen to what I'm saying. And they're just like, goo goo gaga all over the place. And I'm like, what are they saying? Like, if a parent has to tell me what a child is saying, I probably shouldn't have a conversation with you.
No. So one of the, New Jersey volunteers.
Yes.
What is the volunteer part? Why did they decide to add that? What makes a difference?
It's volunteering is one of the biggest things in our organization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have partnerships with Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
And we have partnerships with St. Jude.
Oh, okay.
And it's part of the volunteering part of it, the aspect of volunteering.
Okay.
And Grant, it started in Tennessee,
okay.
volunteer state, but it's so...
Is that why it's held there?
Well, no. So funny story is that Allison is from the Jackson.
Okay.
But the funny thing about it is that this Civic Center, the Carl Perkins Civic Center, it's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, okay.
And it's like in the middle of Jackson.
Oh,
like,
wow. Yeah.
It's like, it's so beautiful. When you walk in, you're just like, whoa, like this is ridiculously crazy.
That's nice.
And... but I do, I think that the volunteer part of it mm-hmm. is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We do volunteer. You know, for instance, like for New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
We also have partnerships. Mm-hmm. Well, not partnerships. We actually call them organization of choice.
Okay.
Our volunteer organization mm-hmm. of choice. And one of those is Best Buddies of New Jersey. We are not in the if you want us to come or you want us to do something, you're not paying us. We're coming. Like, okay. I know other organizations, right. you have to pay
right.
for title holders to come. And that's fine if that's the, you know.
Right.
But for us, it's we're volunteer-based.
Oh, okay.
We want to come and volunteer. Oh, we want to do this.
Yes.
And again, you know, it's part of our serve. Right. Like, that's in there. Like,
yeah.
you, and I think girls come to us sometimes and they're like, well, I've never volunteered before. Yeah, I'm 13 years old. But that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. We're here to help you along your way and figure right. out things for you to volunteer. Another thing that we do, we actually adopted a piece of Ocean City Beach.
Oh, nice.
So we clean it every month. We clean it every month. So it's, we're actually getting ready to go next weekend.
Okay.
Which I'm not excited because it's hot. And like, we'll do it and yeah. I'll be sweating to death.
Yeah.
But the 30th Street Beach in Ocean City, we wanted to give back to Ocean City because we love Ocean City right. so much, you yeah. know, having our pageant there. And they're so wonderful to us. So we decided to do this, but it's the volunteering aspect right. is what started it.
Okay.
And that is important for it to still be there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing for me. Like when they said it, I was like, hey, I'm all game. I like this. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Yeah. I like that. And also I think it's important to, it's almost like you can't ignore the volunteer part of the name. Like we are more than just a pageant.
Exactly.
So I like that. So do you have any mental health questions that you wanted to ask me?
Yes. Yes. See, okay. Like this. So now here we go. Okay. one of the questions that I really do always, you know, and want to know is, every so often there's different trends mm-hmm. that happen in mental health. What do you see trending right now in the mental health aspect? What do you see, you know, on your end?
So as far as trend, do you mean like terms or?
Yeah. Like I think
behaviors.
Oh. I think that's like, cause I was like,
yeah.
I always get confused, like sometimes, because yeah. I don't know terms.
Right.
So it's like when things come to me, I'm like, I have no clue right. what that is. But
I think so. When I hear trending, I think of teenagers, and when I think of like teenagers, I think of like self harm. Like what? Yeah. So I feel like that part, social media is. Can be harmful.
Exactly.
Because yeah. you could look up anything, like if you have an eating disorder, what are ways you could do this to like hide so people don't know, or self-harm, or but on the opposite side, people talk about how they can cope with stuff too. As far as terms, I think narcissism is a big word. We think everybody yeah. is narcissistic. I think gaslighting is a term that people use, which I like that we are talking about gaslighting.
Yes.
Because I think we've all felt gaslit before. So like, I actually saw this, I think on like a documentary or something, like it comes from an old movie that this woman, swore that the light that was gas lit was getting bigger and her husband was tricking her and was turning it on and off to make her feel crazy.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So literally that's where the term came.
This is why you learn something new. Yeah. I say this all the time. You learn something new every day.
Yeah. So she was like, oh my gosh, I swear that light was like bigger. And he was like, no, you're nuts. It was this little the whole time. And meanwhile, he's like messing with her brain. So that's where that comes from.
Good to
so
know.
I like that we're paying attention to people, like calling people on, no, that's not how you're feeling, or no, that's not what I was saying. So I like that we're taking accountability for like, these are my feelings. I'm allowed to feel this way. Yeah. So those are the
interesting. Yeah. I did not know that. And you know, like as far as an organization, mm-hmm. like, what are some things that you would like to see other organizations doing?
Yeah.
I know we're still in the infant stages of mm-hmm. really trying to implement it. And some of the things that we do are pretty much just having people there to talk to.
Yeah.
That's big. But as an organization, what can we do as a whole that you think would be beneficial or even other organizations?
Right. So one of the things when I was talking to you and other circuits about how we can help, one of the brainstorming ideas was like, okay, what about like what can I add without, because confidentiality is yes. also important. So I'm always like, we offer this, you don't have to, and you do not, I do not want you to feel any sort of way to say I get services from Avora because yeah. that's nobody's business.
Exactly.
Not
I always shame. It's funny yeah. that you say that, because I always say, don't tell me if you do it.
Right, right.
I'm
yes.
like, so I never know if they've
no,
done it
or not.
No, and
I'm not telling you yeah. who does it
I was
either.
Like, I don't, yeah, I'm like, okay, like right. you, these are the opportunities for
right.
you, you know,
right.
have at
exactly.
it.
So, but I did want to offer more than just the two winners, because mm-hmm. I know that there's like, how many yes. people are you up to now? Speaking of which.
16.
16?
Yeah. Between Miss and Teen, 16.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. so I wanted to be able to offer to like 16, but then I was like, how do I do this without going into bankruptcy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I suggested that we run like a workshop, or they suggest mm-hmm. a workshop. So like workshop, because you have workshops,
yes.
but also I was hoping to do like a support group.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to be able to have a HIPAA compliant safe space to talk about the pressures. My concern was, well, they're also competing against yes. each other.
It's always that weird thing, because yeah. it's like you forget that yeah, part of it, because right. they're so like, they do like each other.
Right.
Like,
that's what people say. Yeah.
It's like they do like right. each other. So you forget that part of it. Right. And then you see them on stage and you're right. like, yeah, they're actually competing against each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, because naive Teresa, I only watch like, you know, rom-coms. I'm like, yeah. what if they use this information against each other?
Yeah.
And Tanya Harding each other.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, and I do think it's important representation. So I love it when title, and this is why I do this too, is when people say, yeah, I have a therapist. I think having a therapist is trending. Speaking of things that are yeah. trending, I love that actors, famous people are talking about having a therapist. And I think that, so the thing that Taylor Swift said about mm. how our energy is expensive, I want to say that I've been telling my clients that what you have, things that you share with people, it's like little jewels
yeah.
that you only share with people that deserve to know that piece of jewel. So
I love that.
I cannot confirm or deny if I'm Taylor's therapist, yeah. but I'm just saying that's been.
Well, look, I find some similarities there. So, you know.
So, no, I think that just them talking about, and just talking about mental health and saying what's out there is, and making it comfortable for people to talk about.
And so that brings me to the next question, especially, the comfort level,
mm-hmm.
How have you seen that change?
Mm.
You know, and I've seen it change.
Mm-hmm.
People talking about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like years ago, it was like taboo. You don't speak about it. You don't right. say anything about it. But now with more people, do you see that happening
yes.
a lot more? And do you think it's beneficial?
I think I love what's happening with mental health. And I actually talk about this in two episodes coming up about talking about mental health in corporate America. And I love that more people are talking about, more comfortable talking about it. There is still a stigma though, because I think just like coming out, just mm-hmm. like saying that I'm gay or I'm queer or whatever, people still attach some shame to it.
Yeah.
And as much as we rationally think, like, we're comfortable with saying that I go to therapy or I take an SSRI or, you know, I know somebody who suffers from it, we it's even as a therapist, I think it's hard for therapists to say I see a therapist. Even though I've interviewed a lot of therapists for my practice, when I ask, what do you do for self-care? a lot of them have said, I see my own therapist, which I love.
Yeah.
I love that they're disclosing where back in the day, you do not tell anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's it's extremely important. I mean, it was brought to my attention a lot more as in the pageant world because like serve initiatives and platforms that girls have. I've had quite a few that have had mental health platforms. So I learned, you know, from them, and listening to them talk made me, and that's, I think that's why we do what we do. You know, we bring in mental health specialists to sit with the girls. My favorite part about that though, I will tell you, is they come in for the interviews. So they, before the girls go into the interview, they come into the house and they sit down, we check them in, and they sit down with the mental health people and they talk to them for like 10 minutes. And that's like nothing, just like, hey, how's it going? What's going on with your life? Like, are you excited to be here? It gets them so confident and gets them so out of their like head that when they go up to the interview, it's like a different person walked through the door than that's walking into the interview. So we adjust times a little bit just so that they have that 10 minutes that they can do that. And then before we set in for Sunday's rehearsal, big day. This is actually a funny story. They do aromatherapy. And, you know, me, sometimes I talk to the, the mental health people because sometimes I'm anxious that whole weekend. That whole weekend, I'm anxious. Yes. And I remember walking in last year and I was like, is something on fire? You're like, Todd, no, it's the aromatherapy now that you've ruined everybody's life.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, this is why people have to tell me things before I walk in. But yeah, it's those, and then they're there the entire time. So like, if a contestant doesn't make the finals or something like that, they're there. And if they want to talk to them, but they're like cheerleaders. Like they cheer, like every year they come back and they're like, is she coming back? Is she coming? Like they start to know who the girls are.
When I heard that you do this for the contestants, I just love that. That's so great because it is nerve-wracking. And suddenly, talk about imposter syndrome. I think that's one of the reasons why people don't do this. Because, like, what if I have to show, do my thing on stage, and then people will see that I'm not good enough? Like, that's so much.
Yeah, it's just, I'm excited for, well, and it's actually funny because we were talking about it. And I thought other organizations were doing it. Like, I really did. And I thought I was behind. And I was like, we got to do something.
Right.
Like, we have to do something.
Right.
And I did it. And we were doing it. My group were like, yeah, we need to do this. And I was getting so many messages from other pageants. Like, this is amazing. Like, how are you doing this? And I was like, what do you mean you're not doing it? I really thought we were behind. And I really wanted to make sure that the contestants were taken care of. And I thought I was lacking on that part of it.
No.
And I realized we weren't. Like, I was like, I'll be happy to tell you how we're doing.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. Like, if you want to do it on your end, let's talk. We can have a discussion.
I love that. Okay. Any other questions that you have?
I feel like you answered so many questions. I mean, I know I really only, but it was like the talking. Yeah. I love this. I was like, and I'm learning things.
Good.
But you know, mental health itself, do you think that between like teenagers and adults, do you think that there's more teenagers that need help with the mental health than adults? Or is it that the adults are not speaking about it?
Yeah. So I never, ever want to repeat middle school ever again.
Same.
So between hormones and your body transitioning and trying to figure out what you like, your friend group from elementary school is different from middle school. I think that if I can have everybody go to therapy in middle school, that would be awesome. I would not be your therapist because I see 18 and above. But I think that it is crucial for people to at least know who to go to, what the guidance counselors or therapists at school counselors offer. Because I didn't even know at our school district there was a lounge that the kids could just hang if they're like going through something. Instead of hiding in the bathroom, they could hang out in the office. Like in the like more people should know about this. And so as far as younger kids, I think I think it's starting now because I know in our school district, they start in kindergarten, if not before, to just talk about mental health and coping skills. I think that's where we need to be because not everybody has access at home with parents who are open to talking about it. And the people who probably need it the most don't have the parents that are supporting them. And so I think if we start from the beginning, just like well visits, I think that that's a good place to start. I think the reason why people maybe as adults go to therapy maybe more or figure that out is because now they want to do something about the trauma that has happened. So some of the therapists who love working with the younger people, they say that they like to catch them before they get jaded. They like to catch them before the world hurts them or that there's still hope that they could do something about it and not lead to drugs and alcohol and other hurtful behaviors for themselves.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah. So I think at, I don't know the numbers, but we do know suicide is something that needs to be talked about and it needs to not be afraid to be discussed. You're not putting the idea into the person. We always say like, if they're going to think about it, it's already there. You're just letting them feel comfortable because most of the people, my kids included, I'm like, do you have thoughts of like suicide? And they're like, no, like, why are you being
like, mom?
Yeah, exactly. But if they did, at least like, like, hopefully they would tell me.
Yeah.
So I'm not putting that in their head.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love that. No. That's all my questions for
right
now.
But
don't be surprised if I come up with something.
No, please. No, I loved our conversations. So let me just double check. Okay. So I have some fun questions for you, Todd.
Love fun questions.
Okay. So if you were to give yourself a volunteer superpower, what would it be and how would you use it?
I think it would be to be in like multiple places at one time. I think that's the biggest problem that I have. Also like volunteer wise, because there's always so many different events that are happening and you can't be at all of them.
No.
And you like, even if they butt up against each other, it's so hard to get from one to the other because, you know, it could say, hey, I'm going to be here from 1 to 4 and then from 4 to 8, I'm going to be here. That never happens because something either happens where it's over. I think being able to just be in like five different places at one time would be an amazing volunteer superpower for me. I would love that.
Todd, what I have to say is you need better boundaries then. Stop saying yes to things.
Well, you know, it's so funny. Yeah. It's funny that you say that because I've started to not say yes to things. But I also feel like I want to help. And especially volunteer-wise. Like, I want to be able to help you and, you know, do whatever I need to do to that volunteer side. So I think that's what it is, but I've been trying very hard to say no, but, or not so much no as in, can we figure out a way that this could work in another way?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
Because I don't think I can make it. Like,
correct.
That's what I've
and
been trying to
okay.
do.
And that's okay. Yeah. Because then the version that they get of you is the one running in, is something on fire. And that's not helpful.
No, it's
that's
not helpful, helpful to anybody.
No. So it's about, giving the best version of yourself. So yes.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you have to say no.
I know. I've been learning that.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the most unexpected talent or skill you've ever seen during a competition?
I have seen a lot. I'm not even kidding.
Right. In 20 years?
Yeah. I have seen a lot. I mean, you always see your dancing and your singing and, speed painting, like that's become very popular lately.
Oh.
Monologues have become very popular lately.
Okay.
But unusual. Mm-hmm. I will say I saw roller skating one time.
Wow.
Loved it. I was like, it was almost like ice skating.
Yeah.
But roller skating.
Right.
I was a nervous wreck.
I would be too. Oh my gosh.
I was like, they'd never done it on my stage and I think I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
The other thing, years and years and years ago, I actually had a girl do magic. It was a magic
act. I love magic.
Oh, it was great. But here's the funny thing about that. When you're in the audience, you don't see the backstage stuff. So, but when you're backstage, you see how everything's happening.
Oh,
so
I
it was
like
kind
that.
Of, but the funniest part was, I'll never forget this. Our host was back there and she goes, oh, there's a string. I said, did you really think that she was levitating it? I'm like, I'm not sure. I was like, I had to stop for a minute and go,
what?
Like, no, I want to believe that there is no strain and that is levitation.
Yeah. So things, I've seen a lot of those. Like those are like, you know what? Another big one. Well, first of all, everybody that knows me knows that I love baton twirling. Mm-hmm. And if baton twirler comes out, I lose my mind. And I would like, and they'll say to me, oh, here comes a baton twirler. Todd's going to lose his mind because I love it. And every year at Nationals, there's always a baton twirler. I was like, not unusual, but literally, if you want to excite me like crazy, like I will lose my mind.
Do you know how to twirl baton?
I pretend.
About juggling three batons.
I can't juggle. Oh. I can't juggle. But I, you know, I do love when, and when they bring out their batons, I always like, oh, they have three. They're really good. You know? Yeah. Oh, you only came out with two? Good luck.
That's so funny. Like, I'm not impressed.
Yeah, I was like, I need to see three.
Yeah, you will be not in the top 10.
I love, and it's like, you know, it's funny because people say, oh, have you ever seen the fire batons? I'm like, they're not allowed to do fire batons.
I was thinking about fire batons.
Yeah, not allowed.
Okay, fine. You ruin all the fun. All right. Well, thank you so much, Todd, for coming on the podcast and the time that it took for you to travel here and all that wonderful stuff and information about pageants.
Oh, thank you for having me so much. I'm so excited to be able to do this. And I'm so excited to have you sponsor our pageant and seeing our pageant this year.
Like, yes, I'm excited to attend. And
it's going to be a good time.
My daughter's excited to go.
Yeah, and it's a big year for us. It's our 5th year anniversary.
Oh, I love that.
So we're doing some big things. We're doing like a red carpet. We're doing...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait.
And little secret that I'm telling here first.
Okay.
Our winners this year for the first time will be getting scepters. We're going to be every 5 years, we're going to give out scepters to the girls.
It's because you love baton.
Yeah, well, that's exactly
what it is.
So thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming on and sharing.
Thanks. Before we go, Aurora Healing Crew, take a deep breath like you're soaking in sunlight. Warm, steady, grounding. As you move through your day, check in with your gut. Notice how you feel around others. Your energy is precious. Protect it so you have the strength and light to do what really matters to you, because life is hard and we're getting through it together. Thank you for listening to the Aurora Sessions Beyond the Couch. Visit our website at aurorasuncounseling.com to learn more. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Just search Aurora Sun Counseling. Got questions or topics you'd love to hear us cover? Email us at info@aurorasuncounseling.com or drop a comment. We'd love to hear from you.